Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning into Rhema Remnant Radio, a broadcast designed with the minister in mind. Stay tuned for a special message from Elder LaVon Breland.
Want to work for a kingdom organization? Have regular phone and internet access? Have a creative mind? Willing to give God your best? Congratulations! You are qualified to join our team. Urban Glory Campaigns is a faith-based corporation for global leadership. Our organization aims to minister to industries, communities, congregations, and cultures that do not look to the organization because of its religious background, but to the principles taught by our founder that reaches the very hearts of mankind regardless of religious, political or socioeconomic backgrounds. With deep-rooted convictions, our message is a provoker of change. Experience the glory.
Coming to your community is the Word and Power Packed Rhema Group University meeting. Call 641-715-3800, extension 91120. That's 641-715-3800, extension 91120 for more info.
Thank you for listening. This is Selena Oliveira, president of Urban Glory Campaign. Airing tonight is a special broadcast. We look forward to our audience expanding globally and the glorious gospel and doctrine of Christ continually stirred in the hearts of kingdom leaders across the globe. If you would like to partner with us, whether it's with a monthly or a one-time contribution, we appreciate your giving. Visit our website at www.urbanglorycampaign.web.com and go to our partners page. That's www.urbanglorycampaign.web.com and go to our partners page. Stay tuned for tonight's broadcast.
Hello, this is Selena Olivia, president of Urban Glory Campaign. Tonight, you are in for a treat. Our founder, Elder LaVon Breland, will be speaking on a dynamic message by the name of Feasting in the Fire of Pentecost. Get ready to be fired up tonight.
It is the power of the Holy Spirit that makes the difference in our lives as believers from the world. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that causes the church to manifest the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And so in this particular lesson, I just want to review seven basic foundational truths concerning Pentecost. And we need to be reminded of this and encouraged on this. Now, those of you who are ministers, I don't want to insult your intelligence, but not only ministers listen to this broadcast. However, I believe that in this commentary, we will highlight the significance of this day and potentially motivate you to continue to reinforce the value of foundation. The scripture says that if the foundations be destroyed, what will the righteous do? And so we need to learn how to maintain the foundation so that way we continue, keep the continuum of righteousness perpetually on the earth until the Lord's return. We need to see a righteousness that comes out of believers, that makes a distinguishing mark on believers, that when they see us, they will know that we are distinctively different from the discourse of this world, and that we are not in that same order. We are in the order that is higher and superior, and that is the promise of God. And so today I want to visit just seven primary foundational truths that keeps us in the perpetual feasting of the fire of Pentecost. You know, the scripture reminds us of Jesus' conversation, and John's conversation rather, about the Lord Jesus, that the baptism that John was given unto repentance would not satisfy the future and its faith, that there would be one that was greater than he that would baptize you with fire and the Holy Ghost. The fire signifying the judgment of the Lord, and the Holy Ghost, the power of the Lord. And so we thank God that Jesus did and accomplished his work at Calvary. And he said, look, I'm not going to leave you comfortless, but there's one that if I don't go, cannot come, and that is the power of the Holy Ghost. And the promise of the Holy Ghost is that his laws would be written on our hearts instinctively, that we might do and perform his will. He would enable us to keep us from falling, to make all grace abound toward us, that we may abound in every good work. And we thank God that the Spirit causes us to live, move, and have our being. We must remind ourselves as the believers that it is not our own logic that keeps us succinct to the advancement of God's work, but it's the power of God that enables us to do and to be adapt to the will of God. I wrote in a lesson the goal of theology, and the Lord prompted me to read that just now, and so I'm going to do that because I want you to understand when we talk about theology, one of the theologies that is concrete in my commentary is the power and the promise of the Spirit. I do ask for the assistance of the Holy Spirit in my deliberation to the Father because I understand that the frequency in the heavenlies is so clear in the Holy Ghost that when I pray, I know that I have the petition for that which I pray because of his assistance. Why? He enables me to perform the perfect will of God. He perfects the things that concerns me. He's the one that has been sent. And of course, to get an understanding on the Holy Spirit, you must visit John 15, 16, and 17, which reveals the prophecy and the promise of the Spirit, and gives the instructions of what the Spirit will do through power. It gives clear instructions in 17. Jesus' last will was that we would become one as he is one with his Father. And as a result of that unity, we can all exist in the will of God, and God's kingdom could advance in the earth realm. The goal of theology is to foster within a believer a coherent and comprehensive base of knowledge concerning the way, will, and word of God, instinctively establishing absolutes for convictions that will serve as confidence and conscience to the living righteously and Christ-like. And so we study and we dialogue about different things, aspects of theology, so that way we can come comprehensively coherent as a knowledge base in the will and the way and the word of God. And so I want to remind you that part of that will, way, and word is established and fortified in the power of the Holy Ghost. And the power of the Spirit is not a philosophy. It is a part of theology because it's a study. It does have knowledge with it. The Holy Spirit's greatest description is that he leads and guides us into the truth. So that must mean that he has a knowledge of the truth, and that the Holy Spirit is an intelligent being. And it is part of the intelligence of God that you receive the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit can enable you to perform God's will on the earth. You cannot naturally ascertain the things of God. So the things of God are spiritually discerned. And in order for you to abstract from that spiritual discernment, it's not from the source of your nature, but it's from the core of your spirit. And the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. It is important that we remind people that this feasting of the Pentecost is a working of the doctrine of the Holy Ghost. the doctrine of the Holy Ghost, that we teach about the Holy Ghost so that you can receive the Holy Ghost and operate in the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And so it's important that we remind people of this. I saw in my personal life, I was exercising and walking throughout my neighborhood and just in prayer and just getting my daily routine, and people were passing out tracts for Pentecost. And in that, they were talking about giving away a car and giving away iPads and somehow manipulating the message of Pentecost. That's not the nature or the motivation that should drive a person to receive the promise, the power, and the provision of the Holy Spirit. The Word of God, the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus, is not complete until you have been endowed with power from on high to do and to come in contact with an all-holy God. And the Holy Spirit keeps us holy. It is the power of the Holy Ghost that enables us to live a holy life before God, purified from sin. Amen. So number one, Pentecost was a feast for the Jews, established among seven other feasts, that celebrated the prophetic sentence of the finished work of creation given by the Father. And of course, you know, that prophetic sentence was celebrated in the Old Testament, but it was fulfilled in the New Covenant. And the New Covenant fulfilled it through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And when Jesus raised from the dead, it was the Spirit that quickened him from the dead. And that same Spirit quickens our mortal body for the perfection for which it was called. And so, when we live out of the power of the Holy Ghost, glory to God, we deter the flesh from having a conquering force perpetuating sin in our lives. And we live out of the fruits of righteousness that keeps us in sync with an all-holy God that cannot look on sin. And so the power and the promise of the Holy Spirit, glory to God, it was a festival prophetically sentencing the finished work of creation. Glory to God. And so it's important that you understand that there were seven other feasts. And the other feasts, of course, spoke of the Passover, of course, which was 50 days prior to the Pentecost. Then there was the first fruits. There was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. There was the Feast of Atonement, or the Feast of Trumpets, and several other feasts in the scriptures. So the Feast of course, you know, the Sabbath. Let me remind you that these feasts were always held on the seventh day of the week, which indicated this is the day that we acknowledge the work of the Lord Jesus. And it also gives us a motivation as to why we celebrate on why we celebrate on the Sunday versus Saturday. And so we see these feasts really as festive, as distinguishing marks. And that's why hence the word emphasis of charisma being attached to the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, because it's the energizing, the celebrating factor that keeps us festive. And so, of course, you know, all of the feasts, the Feast of the Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of First Fruits, the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Atonement, all of these feasts, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of I'm making certain that I give you all the feasts. I'm looking through my notes real quick. All hint to first of all, the finished work of creation, the Feast of Trumpets. I gave you these. Let me make sure I give you all of them. The Feast of Passover, the Feast of the First Fruits, the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of the Trumpets, the Feast of Atonement, which in the Trumpets was the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles, glory to God, were all the major feasts in the Scripture. And of course, you know, the Passover and Pentecost were the most important ones, because the Passover, of course, portrayed the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus and its rendering freedom from sin, and then the Pentecost celebrated the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, or foreshadowed the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and also the promise of the Spirit. And so that's why we celebrate it. So you need to remind people of these feasts. And I think it's important that we do a study on the feast of in the Scripture of the Old Testament, found in Leviticus chapter 23, that gives a description of all of these things in detail of why these things were celebrated. Amen. Number two, you must have an understanding on the feast to truly obtain the value of the revelation of Pentecost. Because Pentecost is a revelation fulfilled. It is a revelation. And you got to understand, this revelation anchors the prophets of God to point to the cross. Glory to God. And that's why I love Isaiah and Joel, because, you know, Joel, the prophet Isaiah and the prophet Joel often emphasize the Spirit of God being the qualifying factor that will translate us out of the kingdom of darkness. Glory to God. Thirdly, Pentecost is the church's birthday. It's the church's birthday. As a result of the promise of the Spirit being actualized among the people, the church was added as such should be saved. And so we need to remember this when we're dealing with Pentecost. This is the church's birthday. This is a time and a season and an era where you reinforce the value of the church. The revelation of the Lord Jesus is manifested in this faith. That he did, these men are not drunk as ye suppose, but this is the promise of the Spirit that was given thousands of years ago. Glory to God. And so if that is the case, amen, we need to continue in that vein. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I just thank God for the anointing of His Spirit, even in declaring this. And I think it's important that you understand this. As ministers of the gospel, they need to know where the source, that the foundations be destroyed, what will the righteous do? The foundation of this is that this is a historical event that not only etched its imprint in history, but it was fulfilled through the power and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And this day was fulfilled so that we all could be the church and advance the kingdom of God. It's the church is the Pentecost is the church's birthday. It's the day believers are united to express the image of the kingdom of God manifested on the earth. So what better way to celebrate it? Every church's birthday is on Pentecost Sunday. Amen. And so, fourthly, Pentecost is empowered not only by the promise of the Spirit, but it's actualized by the power of the Spirit. And that's what all the feasts were intended to do. And that's why Jesus also fulfilled the commitment to attend every feast in the Scripture. Every feast in the Old Testament that was celebrated, Jesus was seen in Scripture participating in. The Feast of Unleavened Bread was also the time that he sat and broke bread at his table and said, "Unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no part with me." And Jesus was ever present on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit of God descended on him, glory to on his people, as it did on him at the Jordan River. And so we thank God that this is not only actualized as a promise, but it's manifested in power. And these signs and wonders shall follow those that believe. that and all that is saying is that this spiritual impression will be expressed through his people. And that's what we have the promise. And we see the acts, and if people say it's the acts of the apostles, yes, the apostles were present and in authority during the time of Acts. But Acts really were the acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. It was the actions of the Holy Spirit displayed at work so that the church could be established and we could have a if you will, a mainframe to the meaning behind salvation. Glory to God. And so then fifthly, Pentecost is purified perpetually in righteousness by faith. When we allow Pentecost to truly have a proper place in our lives, we're going to maintain righteousness. Righteousness is the core of Pentecost. Amen. And then sixthly, Pentecost reminds us of the power to communicate to God through the power of the Spirit. I cannot neglect to emphasize the importance of what occurred there. They spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And of course, you know, those tongues in Acts chapter 2, of course, was a language that others could understand. But there was also a noted that when a person speaks in an unknown tongue, that there's another tongue that is expressed by the Spirit. He speaketh not back to man, but to God. Howbeit he speaketh mysteries. And the Spirit enables that. And so we see two different languages coming to pass. The fulfillment of prophetic language in Acts chapter 2. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we see the power of a prayer language that is expressed that causes direct accuracy of the will of God communicated through our body. And that's what we need to make certain. And of course, you know, Paul said he prayed in tongues more than y'all, and that he would wish that when you spoke in tongues that you would prophesy so that those who are around you would understand. But hey, when you're praying in an unknown tongue, you're not speaking to men anyway. You're speaking to God. And so that's important that we understand that, first of all, the essence of speaking in tongues and the manifestation of the Spirit is imperative for the believer to truly experience the true Christian life. But also, overall, what it does is produces power to communicate through the Spirit and the power of God, so that way we can manifest the will of God. And seventhly, Pentecost will impact your ministry when you resolve to be Spirit-led. Today, if not ever before, we need to be ever mindful of the importance of being led and guided solely by the Holy Spirit. It is my prayer that as you continue to go throughout life, that you would not go throughout life being spirit-led, but spirit-led. And ministers of the gospel, you cannot effectively lead the church in your own logic and rationale. You need the power of the Holy Spirit to anchor you in times like these. Shall we pray? Father, I thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for your assistance in today's lesson. I pray and I come in agreement with all the prayers that will be prayed throughout today, that the promise, the power, and the provision of the Holy Spirit would be manifested throughout worship experiences, but not only that, throughout the lives of your precious people. I pray that the manifestation of the power of the Holy Spirit would ever increase in the earth realm today 100-fold. I thank you, Lord, that the power of the Holy Spirit would be expressed in our lifestyles, in our language, in our legacies of wealth. Father, I thank you that everything that concerns us will be permeated by your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you go throughout the earth making known your glorious treasures throughout this land. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit having free course to override every demonic influence that would try to hinder his work from making manifold your kingdom. Your kingdom on earth be manifested in earth, in the earth, on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the promise of the Spirit. And we join the church. I thank you for a release of the power of the Holy Ghost among preachers, that they would preach as the Spirit giveth them utterance, and that they would speak and be moved by the Holy Ghost, that cause the inspiration of the Scriptures to be protected and preserved throughout ages, Father. I thank you, Lord, that the promise of the Holy Ghost would prevail, and not only be a promise, but be actualized in the power, and the fruit of the Spirit will ever grow among the church. I thank you, Lord, for the establishment of your church being actualized on this celebration. And Father, as we continue to join this celebration, let an inward charisma, an inward unctioning be evident in our language. Let the power of the Holy Spirit be evident. Let those ministers who have dedicated their lives to your word express the language of the Holy Spirit, both prophetically in their declaration of the gospel, that foreign sinners would come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then both supernaturally as they commune with you with wisdom, knowledge, and insight. And so, Father, as I pray in the Holy Ghost, as a release of the Spirit, and as a perpetual acknowledgement of the power of the Holy Spirit, I thank you that as I pray in my native tongue, that the anointing and the gift and the promise of the Holy Spirit to those who have not released the Spirit of God to speak through them would come forth as I pray. And not only that, but that the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that is given through utterance divinely would then saturate the minds and hearts of the airways that transmit the power of the Spirit. And then, Father, I thank you, Lord, that the promise of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, the prevailing of the Spirit will be evident in the lives of the hearer. I thank you, Lord, for your power. I thank you, Lord, for your presence. I thank you, Lord, for your prevailing word. And as your word takes place, let it manifest your power today and forevermore. You be glorified in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. God bless you. I thank you, and I trust that whatever you set your hands to do, you will do, because greater is he that lives within you than he that's within the world. God bless you and good night.